Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we will be talking about homicide charges that they're considering filing in Phoenix. You know, the high-speed police chase that had two helicopters with news reporters following, and the two helicopters crashed, and four innocent people were killed. And so we'll talk about that and how appropriate it would be to charge the criminal in this case, who was guilty of other felonies, with now four counts of manslaughter. Okay. And also, what else do we have? We have the author of The Privileged Planet, incredible astronomer Guillermo Gonzalez. In fact, we sell the DVD here at Bob Benyart Live. We sell a lot of science DVDs and fascinating science books and debates on the age of the earth and so on, and creation and the flood. Well, this DVD is called The Privileged Planet, and it is so extraordinary. So we sell that along with Unlocking the Mysteries of Life and the Jonathan Park Adventure Begins, all these creation evolution resources. And the astronomer who wrote the book Privileged Planet, co-wrote it, has been denied tenure at Iowa State University, even though he has been published far more often in major scientific publications like Science, Nature, made the cover of Scientific American. So they've denied him tenure, and he is challenging that. He's appealing that. And a major fundraising plea went out today from the ACLJ, Jay Sekulo. And it's fascinating. It doesn't mention enforcing the partial birth abortion ban. So that's pretty cool. And in fact, we'll go to the phones just momentarily. But first, I'd like to read to you something our 8-year-old Michael wrote. I mentioned Michael recently on the show. Well, our 8-year-old Michael Enyart, he wrote this back in April. On his own, he grabbed a piece of paper and a pen. And then we found it some weeks later, and we asked him about it, and he said, yeah, I don't know if it was a song or what. And so here's what he wrote. He wrote, now, I won't tell you when he misspelled words. Is that all right? We'll leave out the misspellings. He's an 8-year-old. Michael wrote, "The Lord my Savior, I shall praise my Lord for my life. I will serve God. If I must be robbed of my money, I will love my Savior." That's just a crack up. What am I raising? A little Calvinist there? He's like, what does a Calvinist say when he breaks his leg? He says, oh, I'm glad that's over with. I'm glad that's over with. As though it had to happen, you know? And so my son writes, if I must be robbed of my money, like it's inevitable. If that's in the plan for my life, regardless, I will love my Savior. That's pretty neat. So from an 8-year-old, the Lord my Savior, I shall praise my Lord for my life. I will serve God. But he didn't spell serve correctly. He spelt it S-U-R-F, surf. I will surf God. If I must be robbed of my money, I will love my Savior. Michael, so neat. Praise the Lord for little Michael. Growing up, learning to love the Lord and be thankful for his life. Now, let's go, before we get to these news stories, let's go to the phones. In Ontario, Canada, Steve, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
How are you, Bob?
Steve, I'm doing great. Hey,
how are you?
I went to public school. Canada, I believe, is north of the mainland U.S.
That's right. Wow, you were paying attention.
Yeah.
The public school teachers must have really studied that before they gave the lesson.
You know what? We didn't have geography in public school.
No?
No, they gave up geography.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there's plenty of Americans who think New Mexico is a foreign country.
Didn't you say on an earlier show when you graduated high school, you went to a beach in Jersey, and there was kids that didn't know what body of water that was?
Oh, yeah. This was at our prom, our senior prom, which
wow.
I don't recommend unless they're chaperoned. In fact, we were on our way to our prom, and we were in a limo, maybe six of us,
yeah. And
on windy roads in the hills of, you know, New England, northern New Jersey. And the car behind us was driven by some of our classmates, all four, two guys, two girls, they were all drinking. He tried passing us on a narrow, windy road through the hills with a double line, and right next to our limo got in a head-on collision.
Oh.
Right next to us. And thankfully, no one was killed. They had to go to the hospital. One guy stumbled out of their car and took their alcohol and threw it over the side of the road.
Wow.
And so anyway, it was the next day, actually. We were swimming. We were maybe 40 minutes from Atlantic City, maybe an hour from Atlantic City. And we're on the Jersey Shore, and we're in the ocean. And I ask, there's, you know, three or four of the girls from our graduating class. I ask them, what is this body of water we're swimming in? And they said, it's the ocean. I said, that's true, but what ocean? They didn't know.
Wow.
They didn't know it was the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
So what do you do with that?
And they didn't even, like, say Pacific as a guess.
No, I don't think they could have come up with that.
Wow.
Maybe if I would have said, it's not the Pacific, it's the blank. Maybe they would have got it. But
yeah, it might have helped.
It's sad. You know, it's really sad. Our little kids, whether Christian schooled or homeschooled, they're so much more aware of the world, generally. It's pretty neat. But go ahead. What's up, Steve?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that something snuck through the Canadian mail here to my home.
Yeah?
And it was Terry's Call. And you know Terry's Call. You would never be able to purchase that in Canada.
Terry's Call was when a homosexual from Knoxville, Tennessee, called into Bob and Yurt Live. And,
right.
Wow, what a call that was. And
Now, I know you have quite a range of listeners, and I know there's a lot of homosexuals that listen to your show. I know they were big watching the television program, but
right.
This should be recommended to people who want to witness to a homosexual or people that who are homosexuals, because, you know, instantly when you say that you are homophobic and proud of it,
right.
They think you hate them.
Right.
But when Terry said to you on that phone call, when you said that you loved him and you wanted to take him to church, and he said, you mean that, don't you?
Mm.
And you said with all the sincerity in your heart that you meant that.
Of course.
That was the turning point of that call.
Mm.
And if he accepted the Lord that night, and I'm sure there was a lot of other ones that if they didn't accept the Lord, they sure thought deep about it.
Mm. And what a beautiful story that was of Terry's call. This homosexual called in angry from Knoxville, Tennessee. He attends at what kind of a church did he attend?
The MCC.
Metropolitan Community Church.
Yeah, it's the sex church.
Yeah, where many are cold and a few are frozen.
That's right.
Where the majority of their choir members have died.
Yeah.
At least it was that way when they were dying so rapidly of AIDS. But now that's slowed with the cocktail of drugs they give people. But he called in and said everyone, first he defended, then he broke down. He admitted that he was used by other homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pushed that, not satisfied to end there. I said, Terry, you've used them. You've used them also.
Yep.
And so he broke down and admitted that this was not love, it was lust. And he ended up praying to become a Christian. And then my wife and I, a couple friends, but mostly Cheryl and I, sent him money so that he could come to our church in Colorado because he said his church was filled with homosexuals.
Do you remember his request?
No.
When he got there, that he wanted to be baptized.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
Now that you say that, yes, now I recall.
Yeah.
And so what happened was he was, you know, full-blown AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his T-cell count, but he was in bad shape.
Oh, yeah. He was fighting pneumonia for the third time or something.
Yeah. And so we were foolish. We should have tried to at least raise the money to fly him here, but we didn't. We had less money, so we sent him money to get on a bus, a Greyhound bus.
Well, he initially said that he was getting a bus to go to Nashville. Mm. So that was the first step he made, and I think just through the communication, you just figured, well, the buses is,
yeah.
I don't know if he could even fly.
Yeah, that could be. So he got on a bus to come to Denver eventually, and he made it as far as Kansas City, and he had to get off the bus because he was so ill. They took him to a clinic, and the clinic director called. In Denver, our affiliate was KWHD, a 5-million-watt full-power TV station on cable. And the clinic director called the general manager of Channel 53 and said, I want to relay to you the dying wish of Terry Johnston from Knoxville. And it was to thank Bob and Yurt Live, the host, and the crew for being the only ones to love Terry.
Wow.
And then he died and went to be with the Lord.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And so many homosexuals have come to the Lord through the show, and so many Christians have condemned us because of our confrontational way in which we rebuke people who give themselves over to this kind of perversion and filth.
I think it's the only approach. And when you look at Christ, when he walked this earth, his approach was harsh.
Unless someone was humble and repentant.
Absolutely.
Right, then he was gentle.
Hey, Bob, can I get your take on Exodus? Exodus International?
Yeah.
What do you think of that group?
Well, I actually haven't followed them. First heard about them many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say this. The same warning we were making back in 1991 when we went on the air. I brought into the studio some homosexual leaders of a homosexual ministry called Where Grace Abounds. And I said to them that a concern I have with homosexual ministries is that men get together once a week and they talk about delivery out of the homosexual lifestyle. And it seems too risky because then these men will so often end up eventually saying, well, why don't we go to a gay bar and just sit there and pray and talk about our old temptations? And then they end up having sex. So homosexual ministries often turn into meat markets.
Well, you got to surround yourself with good Christian people.
Well, yeah, so it's real risky. It would be like having a guy, for example, this is real. I recall a guy who had a serious problem with pornography and prostitution, and he says he's over it, and now he has a ministry to reach strippers. And so I told him that that was really pretty stupid ministry for him to have. You know, if there are women who have a healthy, wholesome Christian life, and they have an outreach to prostitutes or so on, then fine. But not a guy who struggled half his life with pornography.
Right.
So anyway, there are real risks to getting homosexuals together.
Yeah.
Because their problem was they were attracted to men. Now you bring a bunch of men who are attracted to one another to minister to one another. It's a recipe for disaster. And I don't know how Exodus International does it. So I'd rather not comment on them specifically.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, I can't say enough about that DVD. Amy's Call, another really, really gripping.
Wow. Amy's Call. These neat DVDs teaching people at one level how to witness, how to evangelize unbelievers. And you know what, Steve? So exciting. Our materials have a complete makeover. We have beautiful artwork now on most of our DVDs. We have a graphic artist who worked for years for the U.S. Air Force down in Colorado Springs. Now she's stationed in Germany, and she's working for us. She's now the BEL graphic artist with help from some other artist, and she is redoing all of our Bible teaching materials, all of our talk shows, our seminars, and it is exciting.
Well, I would say when you're dealing with addiction and you're trying to witness to somebody, no matter what it is, whether it's sexual addiction or alcohol or drug abuse, you can run into people who just want to shut you out. And it's almost like Gregory Flood, really. They're just so pompous in their thinking and they don't want to humble themselves to the truth. And that's where you got to break through and just be straightforward.
Yeah. Those Gregory Flood shows we did, they were very different from the interviews we did, the debates with the atheist who had been on ABC, the wife swap show, Reginald Finley. The shows with Gregory Flood were, I think, ugly. They were ugly. You know, and he's committed to the filth of homosexuality.
Well, the thing I liked about the Finley interview is how you apologized right at the start for the way Christianity is looked upon.
Yeah, for the superstition within Christianity that is so rampant.
That apology alone at the start of that interview broke down half his ammunition.
Yeah, I would say that that's exactly right. That's a good estimate, too. And they were very worthwhile shows. In fact, I think we have more of that that we will eventually make available on a CD, an MP3 CD, for about a total of 5 hours or so of debates with an atheist.
Well, it's I can't say enough about Terry's call. I really encourage your listeners, if they haven't seen it. I guess I was just talking to Will on the phone there. He just saw it for the first time the other day.
Will Duffy.
Yeah.
Our general manager.
It's incredible.
Terry's call.
Really incredible. And,
yes.
And
hey, now let me tell you, when you Google Gregory Flood, this is a problem that liberals and atheists have when they come on our show.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the rest of their lives, if somebody Googles them,
right,
it turns out that one of the very first entries are their appearance on this show, Bob and Yurt Live. So right now, if you Google Gregory Flood.
I've got it in front of me. I see you're, what, one, two?
We're twice on the first page.
Yeah, seventh down.
Yeah, and give that a little time. You know, eventually we'll probably be number one or two. And so this is true. Remember that pastor from Pennsylvania?
Reverend Cox.
Brian Cox. What a memory up there in Ontario, Steve. He is a pastor who believes homosexuality is okay and fornication is okay and all that. And so when people search for him, and this is now, what, a couple years later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing they find is Bob and Yurt Live. So it's helpful.
Yeah, that's great ministry, Bob.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, all the best to you. God bless you all, and Will and your mom and Al and everybody working down there. Keep it up.
Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, bye. All right, that's pretty neat. Steve from Ontario, Canada. And I'm looking at our store on KGov, KGOV.com, and I see that our new artwork is starting to appear on the store. It's going to take a while to get all our new materials and packaging up online at kgov.com. But one of the DVDs up here is a Bible tour of Israel. That's when we took about, 30 people to Israel, brought along our videographer, Jason Troyer. He runs Control Burn Media. And what a DVD we did. In fact, that won an award. That's an award-winning. It won the Moses Award, if I recall. So that was a lot of fun. A Bible tour of Israel, Bob debates an evolutionist, Bob on drugs, Amy's call, 40 years in the wilderness, and then Focus on the Strategy. Now, we're going to have to put Focus on the Strategy 2, the sequel, up there, because that is a 50-minute version of the sequel instead of a two-hour version, and there's added video clips. It's just the pro-life strategy part of the 40 years in the wilderness DVD, spruced up, though, and really good for showings in Sunday school, at home, video parties, and so on. Get Out of the Matrix, Bob debates a college philosophy class, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. What do we have? Morality, Why God Forbids Sexual Immorality, Bob's testimony. Live from Las Vegas, Bob debates many conventioneers on the floor of the Las Vegas Convention Center. Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection. Open Theism. This is a 3-DVD seminar, video seminar, on open theism, which is a fascinating topic about whether the future is settled or open. What do you think? Is the future settled or open? Is God able to still be creative? To write a new song, to do a new thing. Is God able? And so is the future settled or open? We have a full-day seminar on DVD. How much is that? That's $39.99 for three DVDs. I think you'll love it. In fact, money-back guarantee with all our stuff. Then we have a debate, predestination and free will debate, Bob Enyart versus Pastor Brian Schwartley, moderated by talk show host John Mangopoulos. Then Terry's Call, a homosexual who hated Christians until. And then the planets, stars, and the Bible. That's pretty fun. And the privileged planet that we just mentioned earlier. That's produced by the Intelligent Design Movement. And Unlocking the Mystery of Life. And then Video Fruitcake. Big laughs. Great Christmas gift. That last and last. Somebody just called about the Enyart Library. That is one of every single DVD we have, every audio Bible study album. We have a lot of Bible study albums, probably 35. And we have all of our literature. And if you added all that up, it probably comes, if you bought each one individually, to something like $2,300. You get it all for $1,500. And that way, some people say, I want to get it all. I want to watch, read, listen, and start lending things out. And you become a lending library out of your living room. And the materials are starting to look so beautiful. So, okay, let's go back to the phones. Fort Lupton, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hey, say, I was giving you a call to find out if you know about the subject I'm going to ask you. And that is, last night on TV, I noticed they had a fellow who had been in a coma, and they were able to slide some type of instrument down near his hypothalamus area.
Yeah, in his brain.
And he was able to communicate, and he came to after being in a coma for a really long time.
Wow.
Now, are you aware of this?
No, I haven't heard it.
You know much more than I do. My knowledge is very limited on this, but the first thing I thought of was Terry Schiavo.
Yeah.
And wondering what her husband's thinking if he saw the news program.
Okay, but now that doesn't mean that everyone in a coma would recover with this treatment, obviously.
It's the first time it was done, as far as I know, to this one individual who'd been in a coma quite a while, a number of years, I believe.
Yeah, well, that is extraordinary, of course, that it's helped this person. And let's hope it helps a lot of people.
Right, right. I was just, people want to put people to death before they're ready to die, and they may not realize how alive they really are.
Well, sure, that's right. When we're dead is when our soul spirit separates from our body. Mm-hmm. And our soul and spirit is interfaced to our body in our brain. So when our brain is truly dead, then that is when we are dead, when the interface between our soul and our spirit has broken.
Right.
And that, you know, we talk about brain dead. This Gregory Flood mentioned brain dead. He said, when our brain waves can be registered, that's when we start to think. And that's not true. He's wrong about that. But it is true that our soul spirit is interfaced in our brain. And so when we are truly brain dead, then we are dead, except that the determination that somebody is brain dead is not ironclad. And some people have recovered after being declared brain dead.
Well, that's what it looked like this fella.
Well, being in a coma and being brain dead are two very different things.
Right, right. But he had been, almost written off. But I was hoping that you would maybe found out more because of my, knowledge is real limited on the whole thing.
All right. Well, John, while we've been talking, I've been searching for that article.
Yeah.
And I went to Google News and all. But so far, I haven't found it. Perhaps you could email it.
It was on TV last night, but I'll try finding it.
Okay, yeah. And my email ID is bob@kgov.com.
All righty.
And KGov is real simple. If you're west of the Mississippi, radio stations start with the letter K. They're call letters. If you're east of the Mississippi, they start with the letter W. And gov is in government. So KGOV, KGov.com. Thank you so much, John. We'll look for that email.
Thank you.
May God bless you. Now let's go to Denver, Colorado. Nurse Maria, she's our medical analyst. Nurse Maria, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. What's up?
Your last call
yes.
kind of asserted that the guy in the coma and Terry were the same, and that's not the same. Terry's a brain-injured person. A person in a coma is totally unresponsive, and a right. person who's brain dead would be unresponsive as well.
Right.
And we know that Terry was responsive.
Yeah,
she doesn't fit that criteria.
Terry was not terminally ill.
Right.
She was
just brain injured.
She was not in a coma. Yeah, she was handicapped. She was injured, severely injured.
Right, but comparing her to the guy in the coma is not
accurate. Correct.
And I don't want people to be thinking that that's how she was.
Yeah, there's tremendous misinformation about these kinds of issues. People think that Terry was being kept alive on life support equipment, and that if you turned off the switch, she would die, except there was no switch.
No, she did. She was initially on life support, and
yeah.
when they took it all off, she
yeah.
still lived, which
yeah.
happens to people who are just injured.
Right, when they're injured, and
her brainstem is still functioning.
Yeah, and her nurse had given an affidavit, I think a couple of nurses, who said that she could be fed by mouth. They had fed her by mouth. She was able to swallow. And so when the judge ordered them to stop feeding her with a feeding tube, the family said, okay, we'll feed her by mouth. She could eat. And the judge said no.
Right.
So that's how cruel and how bloodthirsty that Republican pro-life judge, George Greer, who spent his life at a pro-life conservative
right. and
Republican
people,
Baptist
people have
church.
Said that she was in persistent vegetative state, but even 40% of those people are misdiagnosed. So we have to be very careful when people have immediate injuries and not to be rushing ahead to do this or do that.
All right.
Because it takes time when people have traumatic injury.
All right. Nurse Maria, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Appreciate that. We got to make sure to keep her on retainer. I'll let Will Duffy know, our general manager. Don't let her contract lapse, all right? Okay. We need that up-to-date medical information. Now, we didn't get to this helicopter crash. You know, the general principle is a criminal is responsible for the unintentional harm caused by his crime. So we'll get to this next week, and also the tragic bridge collapse in Minneapolis, I-35. That tragedy, and, you know, terrible things happen. A lot of Christians tend to be superstitious, and they say, wow, look what the devil did. Or they say, or God did it to punish us, or the devil did it out of spite. And you say, well, which is it? Is it the devil or God? They say, well, I don't quite know. We say, well, then don't be attributing things to God that you think maybe the devil did. So that's superstition, right? We need to be biblical. Yeah, I'm out of town. Maranatha Christian Center.